back friends. Continuing on with some ideas, some further ideas, and then we'll go back into, I think, more of a direct garden analogy. So, baptism day, celebrating your baptism day. So this, going back to a sacramental point of view, that is what informs the suggestions I'm offering about you're celebrating your baptism day. And in recent years, so I did not know my baptism day till much later, and I knew the parish I was baptized in, and I found out. Well, it turns out Leo the Great is my patron saint for my baptism, of whom I got, had become quite friendly with, and, you know, and learned from his great theologian and so forth and so on. So that hagiography unfolds, the and how this unfolded over the decades, right? This was the noise there.
Okay. No coincidence in grace.
No question. God is so good. Monthly confession. Okay, what is your vocation? So marriage enrichment. We had Julie Alexander. She was here with the Alexander House Apostolate. That's a resource for marriages, for your vocation, both in person and online. But there are others. There are Teams of Our Lady, or there's Marriage Encounter. Or here we have Sanctus Ranch, which offers beautiful different holy retreats. We're going to be doing the stations there. Or perhaps in which Sarah and I developed our friendship, informal gathering of couples once per month. You want whatever it is. It needs to be in accord with the perennial teaching of the church, not the current, not the latest one, not the one that just came off the press last week. We want to see if it has some legs here. What has this idea produced? Okay, so we have some of these things I said I know can veer off or have veered off away from the perennial teaching of the church. And what I think a sign is not only does it just become a social event, I like social events as much as the next person, but there's not going to be much, it's hard to have something of an ongoing experience if it's strictly just getting together for a dessert and alcoholic beverage. There needs to be something feeding of the soul. And if we're feeding of our souls of something trite or worse yet, full of error, that too doesn't, it doesn't seem to stand the test of time.
I think
say you're a young professional.
Right. I think that you can see that a little bit when we examine fraternal organizations. And their destruction from the 1970s on.
Yeah.
But you really see it. That, you know, we really grew up with no real fraternity or no real sororal elements. We really have had to, like the group that you and I met at, that was an inspiration of our own. The church did not provide that nor really foster it. We just knew that we needed assistance from one another. And really I look back on those early days of my marriage and my young motherhood, and I lament a bit for the young mothers now, because, you know, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have Instagram and Facebook and social media. We had real active conversations about physical books that we were reading, right? I mean, a tangible connection to things. And, you know, the church must rediscover and help her children to rediscover the importance of why God gave us five senses. You know, we need to be able to engage with that again. And I do think that we're going to see a hunger for those types of communities that you said are that need to be founded on, like we said before. I mean, we keep talking about the roots and the depth and the, you know, this anchoring that these groups that are going to be founded on something more than, you know, rice cake theology.
That's true.
It can be fed, but if the soul is starved, you know, eventually it loses its savor, right? The body grows tired of things if there's not something there for the soul.
That's right. Young professionals at the parish. I know Schoenstatt, we've had a graced opportunity to be a part of Schoenstatt. They have a young adult group. So that might be something of our parish in the diocese in general has a young professional Catholic group. And we were with two of these young Catholics yesterday, took them to Holy Mass with us, and it was just delightful. The opportunities are there. They are. You just, you know, have to be diligent about finding it. So, okay. Yes, the rootedness. Sarah has harped on this, and let's go ahead and bring it full circle. This rootedness in history, as Newman alluded to, makes one Catholic and able to withstand the buffeting of temptations to leave her. That is true. Okay. Let's enjoy. So now we're back on the spring season. So we're now. Yes, we have a few minutes. We have excitement and newness of it. We have bright green leaves, delicate. Oh, they are. They're chartreuse, delicate flowers. They're beautiful, tiny little purple flowers yesterday in the fields. The birds, they can't be singing anymore, building their nest. The temperature's delight for us. Today it was delightful, and we know summer is coming. So I don't know why it is with some of us more than others. Maybe it's the difference of temperaments, but when the Lord gives us these times of refreshment, take them. I saw a Catholic thought leader, she was saying the same thing. When the Lord sends you these moments of refreshment, take them. Elijah, you know, the angel came to him to minister unto him. He took enough of the food. He didn't want any more. The angel said, no, refresh yourself. Our Lord in the garden took comfort from the angels who ministered so as to bear in his humanity the rigors of the passion. So, yes, realize our littleness and take the many helps our dear Lord sends our way.
Yes, human consolations can be the seedbed for spiritual consolations.
Yes. Yes. How so? Beautiful art. Spiritually enriching, beautiful music. It's nice, or at least I find it nice, to have the Psalms read. You talked about singing of the hours.
Right?
Coming up, we will have a mother-daughter and granddaughter tea in our parish, and that will be delightful. Look for retreats. I always have my ears perked up, but you might be in that age where if you ask, you don't mind being invited to organize. I'm just not there anymore. So I have to be careful how I ask. And so I'm listening. So most importantly, come to savor the presence of God in all things. And spring is the perfect season to start with. Just as baptism is a joyous occasion to constantly be returned to, if possible, find your date of baptism and celebrate it. And if not, ask the Lord what date to choose. Mm-hmm. And he'll tell you. And you just use that date. Mm-hmm. And as an addendum, I have St. Cyprian's account, his own recollection before his, you know, his martyrdom there in 258, on what the grace of baptism did to him. And Sarah said something just a few episodes ago where she says, we can't quite put our finger on it, but we know things, or we can do things we weren't able to do before. And our friend Cyprian here really put a fine point on how that works.
Yeah. I mean, spring is, you know, if you don't know anything about hope, all that you have to do is show somebody a tree that buds. You know, I mean, it's alive. Spring is alive with hope. Just to be driving down the street and to see the wonder of creation waking up again. You know, I guess for those who don't live in a you know, deciduous climate, maybe it's not quite as evocative. You know, if you live in paradise, you know, I can't. You know, then you never have a blue day, right? I mean, so you should always be joyful. But for those of us who have to go through winter, you know, many months with gray and whatnot, that chartreuse green of spring is truly, you know, it's the embodiment of hope.
It is. All right, my friends. We will take up another topic the next time. Till then, my friends, fide sobratio.